Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
These guys every once in a while?
Fuck yeah. Let them know who's boss. I guess there was a security breach or intel breach today or some shit over... I forget the social media that they use. Apparently it was war plans on bombing or taking out the Houthis.
The who?
The Houthis.
Who the fuck's that?
In Palestine.
Oh, okay. You can just call them what they are, sand niggers.
Yeah, we could.
Both sides are sand. Well, I guess the Jews aren't. They're kikes.
Yeah. They're more like sand albinos.
Sand polar bears.
Yeah, sand rats. We'll just call them sand rats. Yeah.
I like sand rat. Because, yeah, calling Jews rats is not anti-Semitic, so.
Sand rat, hoochie mama. Sand rat, hoochie mama.
So you had a good time this weekend?
Fuck yeah, dude. I had a blast.
Hell yeah.
Didn't want it to end.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then next, not this coming weekend, the following weekend, we go to Atlantic City to see Cat Williams.
Nice.
She's driving.
So you're going to get fucked up?
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys coming back home after that?
Fuck no. She got a hotel and everything.
Okay. Did you stay in the Egyptian hotel this week?
Mm-hmm.
Was it cool?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. The fridge could have been bigger.
The fridge?
Yeah, it was like small. It was a small-ass mini fridge, dude. Like, my mini fridge is bigger.
Well, what'd you guys need to put in the fridge?
Some beer and some stuff like that. Because we got a pregame.
Does she drink beer?
Oh, yeah. She drinks beer. Hell, I drank more tequila than I have my whole life this past weekend.
What kind of tequila you got?
I forget what it was. It was a blue label. Live in 10 seconds.
Probably Jose Cuervo.
No.
All right, yeah, I'm ready.
Was not Jose.
Bet it was.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Conspiracy Underground. We are the Conspiracy Underground news team and the tag team champions of the podcast world. I'm the lunatic fringe, the left lip ghost, and with me as always is the radical one, the right lip, Ryan motherfucking Dean, where he's hailing from parts unknown, where he's somewhere in Mexico, riding through the desert on a donkey with no name. How are you, my friend?
I think he used the horse with no name at some point before, but I mean, so, we're bound to get repeats. At
well,
some
right,
point,
but I... switched it up with donkey and Mexico.
I like it. Yeah, in Mexico apparently this week, and it's been hot, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I should know the weather because I'm here, but it's one of those things, man. Yeah, dude. Well, I mean, what's going on with you? We haven't talked in 2 weeks because we never talk ever outside of this podcast,
no.
Right?
No. We're not actually friends. We actually hate each other. Like all that. Yeah.
Yeah. We have been talking less, which I'm not happy about. True. I cry about it at night sometimes, but it's not a big deal.
No.
Just sometimes, you know.
We get that Pisces lonely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I just sit there and cry and feel bad about my life. But it's fine because we do get to talk here. And then we talk a little bit afterwards. It's always nice.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things. But, what's going on with you, man? What'd you get up to over the weekend?
Well, over the weekend, last week we had to take off because I was way out on training and didn't feel like recording out of a hotel room and relying on, Wi-Fi there. And honestly, packing up all this gear, I'm too much of a perfectionist. So we took the week off, and then it was my birthday on last Thursday, first day of spring. So I kind of chilled, hung out with the neighbors. We kind of did like a little, small barbecue. They got some shrimp and some clams and what have you. Nothing huge, but, just to make it nice. You know what I mean? And did all that. And then Saturday we decided we wanted to go down to this one barbecue joint that I had seen like a year ago. And I was talking it up like, I think it was Friday night. And they're like, all right, we're going to go down. Well, this fucking little joint. And it's small inside. I mean, there's enough room for like, I don't know, maybe like 10, 12 people to sit in there. But it's located in a fucking housing development. And right across the street is like a local brewery, local brewery. What the fuck was the name of it? The Bearded Goat. And ooh. I remember looking at my buddy. I'm like,
that sounds like a vagina.
Right. And I said, if I lived in this fucking development, I would be broke. I'd be filing for bankruptcy. I wouldn't be able to own my own house because, A, you have a fucking brewery right there, and then you have this fucking barbecue joint. And I got the wings. My buddy got a hoagie or whatever, fucking packed with meat. We all got a large pepperoni pie, which very thin crust, super crispy. They put it in the oven, and then they finish it off out on the smoker, so it has like a little bit of smoke flavor to it. Mm-hmm. They had two. One had you could get all drizzle of hot honey. We got that on the side. It wasn't that great. I don't think they used mics. I wasn't impressed with the hot honey drizzle, but loaded with fucking pepperoni. The wings, they smoke them, then they pull them off, then they throw them in the fryer to flash fry them to get them crispy. The sauce could have been a little bit more kick. If you're going to name it Voodoo Vampire with the name Voodoo in it, you think it's going to be, it was like a mild, very, very, very low mild. But
does your buddy like hot sauce like we do?
Not like we do, but he even said it could be a little hotter.
Interesting.
So,
it wasn't hot at all then, probably.
Not really, but the flavor was amazing. Like you could taste the smoke flavor and the way they came out, they just basically put it on like a small cookie sheet with some butcher paper and soaked them in the sauce and what have you. So it was good. It was a fun time. Oh, and my daughter got me this collectible of DMX for my birthday. So I know it's kind of hard to see with the lighting and what have you, but I've always been a huge DMX fan. My daughter's a huge DMX fan, probably because she used to have to ride around with her dad in her car seat and listen to DMX when she was a baby. All the time.
Dude, that reminds me of like that scene in Office Space. I've been talking about this movie Office Space a lot. Have you seen that?
That's the one with the stapler, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I did see it once.
It's where like this white dude, because I mean, if you know Ghost, he's white.
I'm very white.
White. So like, you're sitting there like this dude's rapping in the traffic. And there's this black homeless guy walking up, and he's rapping Tupac, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like saying all the words, and he's like getting all into it. And then this black dude is walking up, and he turns it down, locks his door until the guy gets by, and then he turns it back up, and he's just like goes right back to rapping. I could see you doing that shit. But you can clearly still hear me, even though I have my other browser up. So I'm just glad because I need to do a couple of things on the side here. But as far as my weekend, dude. Pretty chill weekend. What did I do? The weekend was a long time ago. I'm programmed
fights.
To remember.
Wasn't there fights? Patty the Batty?
Patty the Batty did not fight. He's fighting on UFC 314 against Michael Chandler. But his training partner, but a girl that trains out of his gym, they're like best friends.
Okay, the lesbian.
Yeah.
Yes. Because yeah, I saw some guy try to ask the question again if they banged, and he's like, "You fucking sausage!" Like he tried to ask that before. She's a lesbian.
Yeah, I don't understand that insult, a sausage. You know,
it's kind of like you dick. You know what I mean? A sausage link. Look at us. Or a potato. Like what does a potato do? It just kind of sits. It doesn't.
But I mean, like, where do we stop? Do you call someone a banana and that's offensive, or a hot dog, or you know, a cucumber? I mean, there's all kinds of dick shaped foods.
Yeah, I mean, I can see calling someone, you're just a fucking plate of beans, dude.
Plate of beans, dude. Have you heard of those fucking potatoes that they do there? Those baked potatoes. They put baked potatoes, butter, which sounds good. Tell me when to stop.
Okay, start at the beginning.
I know you don't like baked potatoes, but pretend you can like a baked potato.
Okay.
Baked potato.
Stop.
Butter. Butter on the baked potato.
Yes.
Beans.
I'd try it.
Beans.
I'd try it.
Like. Cold canned tuna.
No.
Yeah. That's what they do there.
Nope. No, I'm good.
It's fucking strange.
That's very strange.
I heard someone talking about it, and they were like, this is like war ration food, and they're still doing this.
Yeah. You know I mean, we still eat Spam. That started out as kind of war rationy type shit.
Yeah, but it's not like a street food.
True. Spam, yeah, right? That's true. Because Spam is kind of expensive.
Well, yeah, and you know when you're eating Spam, you're kind of slumming it a little bit. This is like a delicacy for these trash people out there in the UK. You know what I mean? It's weird. I don't know. Their food over there is trash, dude. I think that the national dish for England is like curry.
We had this discussion before.
It's like that tiki masala.
Yeah, tiki masala, I think, is their national dish, which is odd because it's like you've been around for how long and you got to steal someone else's nationality's dish to make it your own? Like, America doesn't even do that.
There's a shitload of Indians that live in, and we're talking red dot Indians, not feather, that live in the UK, and you know why?
Why?
Because Gandhi, when he stopped doing his thing, or maybe it wasn't Gandhi, maybe it was, who's the other fucking weirdo that they worship out there? Not Gandhi.
Buddha?
No, it was Gandhi.
Okay.
So Gandhi, when he was done doing his shit, his whole shtick in India, he went over and settled in London.
Okay.
So London is the highest populated Indian area outside of India because, you know, a lot of people flocked over there from India to follow Gandhi. Yeah.
Well, he's probably going there to. He probably went there for the fucking war rations. The dude had like 2-inch arms, like he was a toothpick. Like,
well, they don't believe in food.
No,
those fucking Hinduists. So I don't know, man. It's fucking strange. But yeah, as far as my weekend, man, it was chill. Just kind of like, you know, same old thing. Had to work and, you know, do all that stuff. But
is the race jersey in the background new? I don't remember seeing that last time.
That's been here a while, dude. I'm glad that you're so observant, though. Nothing gets past you, dude. You know
what I mean? Usually it doesn't. I just don't. I don't know, man. Maybe it's because it's been like 2 weeks and I don't remember.
Yeah, there's two helmets up there, too. You know, those are just ones that I used to wear.
Yes, sir.
Good times. Good times. You want to get into some clips? Do you got anything that you want to get into before some clips?
I don't think that. I don't know. With how fast last week has went and this week, you know, work's been pretty slammed as well. Haven't really been able to get on and look at much. So I don't even know really what's been happening other than like we talked a little bit before, there was like some kind of security data breach of something or other. I just only heard that in passing from the liberal that I work with. I don't even know. So.
And you hate that guy.
Yeah, he's pretty annoying. It's just me and him in the office. There's been several thoughts of throwing him through a wall or, you know, because he is the size of a midget. But he thinks.
Well, it's okay to think those things.
But he thinks he's my size. I don't know. And he thinks he knows everything.
Dude, I saw this clip. I wish that I saved it. It was so funny. This son, he's a normal sized human.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays the trombone, and he follows his midget mom around and plays sound effects for her
I've seen that.
Have you seen that? Yeah. Dude, it's so good. And, like, the mom gets all pissed off, and it's just funny, man.
He's
so,
like...
Yeah, and, like, when she's driving her cart, he's, like, doing the shifting, like the... That's fucking sick. So
speaking of which, my buddy started this, and no matter if it's him riding in with my neighbor or I'm riding in or the three of us are together, and we don't drive in his car that often. It's just like a little, I think a Honda Civic or some shit like that. It's just his to and from work, but it's a stick shift, right? So he'll start off. There's no exhaust on it. It's plain Jane, right? And he'll go from first to second. And as soon as he pushes in the clutch, each of us go, psh.
Nice.
Real quietly. And then he'll go to third, psh. Like it's a
that's a fuel injector sound though, isn't it?
Like a blow off valve for the exhaust.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You hear those cars that have the souped up exhaust, and they'll go whip, psh,
wah, psh, wah. Oh yeah, I get what you're saying. Okay.
So, we do it real quiet. We're like, psh.
Yeah, the fuel injector kind of winds up, huh?
Yeah. The fuel injector what you're thinking of is more of a turbo.
A turbo.
The turbo. Yeah, the turbo. It'll get like that little bit of a high whistle to it. That.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice sound.
Yeah, I know my sounds. I'm a ventriloquist.
Yeah, I mean, you're good at a lot of things there. Mm-hmm. Let's, I didn't get, because we didn't get to do last week, right?
Right.
So I had a lot of stuff sent in. I actually did like go and take the time like about an hour before we started, or we were going to start. I took the time to look through the clips that people sent instead of doing it frantically in 30 minutes. And I've got some good clips from last week, and then we can, you know, roll through some of these. So we'll try to get through like all of these if we can without going too long. But, you know, this one was really interesting to me. This guy is a strange dude, but, you know, we seem to like some of the stuff that he puts out. Some of it's not great, but this was really interesting to me.
Okay.
And I think that we can have a little conversation about this, because we like our Disney conspiracies.
Mm.
Long time ago when I, you know, was serious about my own podcast, we were doing, Matt from The Great Deception came on.
Yes.
Talked about Disney. It was a great episode, right?
I had him on mine too.
Talking about Disney?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the dude doesn't sidestep with his research, so no, it was fun.
I just realized I forgot my robot cock, so let me go grab that real quick, and then we'll play the video.
Oh, my God. All right.
I'm unprepared today.
Well, it's fine. So what we're going to do, though, is we'll roll into this one. It's an interesting Disney thing, because what's the common theme with Disney movies? There's a missing parent. Every time there's a missing parent. Or a parent dies, or something weird like that happens, right? So this guy kind of explains potentially why there is this theme in it. And what's your favorite Disney movie of all time?
Fuck, I don't know.
I mean, as a kid, obviously.
As a kid?
The classic ones, not this new, like not Moana.
No.
Don't be saying shit like that.
As a kid, I just turned 48. So as a kid, I liked Bambi. I liked 101 Dalmatian. I liked all the old classics. What was some of the other ones?
Answer I was looking for was Lion King. That's the only
correct. Well, I was going to say that, but that came out my graduating year. So
it's still a classic.
It is a classic. That was probably, I will say that was probably the last great, great, great Disney movie.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal movie. So, you know, the phrase, what's the phrase from Lion King?
Hakuna Matata.
Right.
Means no worries, but that's not actually what it means.
Do you know what it means?
Someone told me years ago, and I forget now. I'd have to look it up. But
well, you're about to fucking find out right now.
Buddy. All right.
Here we go.
Hakuna Matata. It means no worries, right? Or does it mean no fathers? You see, I'm going to teach you how spelling works. But first, let's try Hakuna Matata in Japanese. You see, Akuma means the devil. Akuna means evil. So Hakuna Matata, ma is the word for magic. And tata means many. So Hakuna Matata means many evil demons in Japanese. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, Brian, it's not Japanese. So you got to translate it in, you know, Zulu or Swahili. Well, let's check Swahili. You see, Hakuna Matata means there are complications. That's a little strange. Maybe we can type it in the right way. Hakuna Matata altogether. He confused me. Isn't spelling confusing? Now, here's where it gets really interesting. Hakuna Matata in Zulu it means no fathers. And that's the primary language spoken in the Lion King songs. It's Zulu. So Hakuna Matata, it means no fathers. Now some of you might go, oh, but there's an H in the beginning. Sure, let's add the H. Hakuna Matata, there is no father. Isn't that fitting for a movie where the father is dead or gone? Hakuna Matata, it means no worries. No. Hakuna Matata means no fathers for the rest of your days. And this is how spelling actually works. They get you to chant or sing or come into agreement with a message unbeknownst to yourself. And you chant this spell aloud. You sing it over and over. They want you to chant this spell over and over to try to get you to bring a curse upon yourself. You see, this is how spelling works. This is why Disney puts these type of spells that you chant in the songs. This is why Pumbaa and Timon translate from the Uganda language, allure, to pump and rudder, as they pump you full of spells and steer the course of the spell. Never mind the racist component where Belle is from France and Snow White's from Germany and Mulan's from Asia. But when it comes to Africa, they make the movie about animals.
And that's why Mufasa's name translates in Latin to funny, because they think it's funny that Mufasa dies and you're watching this movie. See, this is the real Lion King.
A Disney movie about Africa targeting African-American individuals where the characters are animals and they sing a song, there are no fathers and the father is dead or gone. Are you sure Disney is not racist? And let's of course not forget all the subliminal hidden messages and the suggestive undertones hidden throughout the movie that are being programmed into yours and your child's mind. But also, The Lion King actually has a sex scene in it, an animal sex scene. So for some reason, it seems to be acceptable. But yet, still very unsettling and disturbing. Oh, and let's not forget that Mufasa was the only lion in Pride other than Scar, making them more likely brother and sister, unless she's Scar's daughter. And I know many of you would like to ignore this incestuous relationship and these negative undertones, but these thoughts are going into your subconscious mind and they are programming you, whether you realize it or not. The programming is even more effective when they include trauma. And why exactly does Disney always have somebody dying in all their movies? You see, this is how witchcraft works. It requires death or dying or trauma in order for spells or demons to get access to you to set their claws in place. This is why every Disney movie starts out with a sad situation, an orphan child or a traumatized child or an abused child or somebody neglected or rejected or somebody dying. You see, all the Disney movies are surrounded with trauma. That trauma is designed specifically to create a void in you. A trauma bond is what they call it. Hence why people that have gone through large amounts of trauma tend to have an associative identity with Disney. You'll find that many gay people just absolutely love Disney. In fact, at Disney, there's almost an entire month plus another 15 days scattered throughout the entire year dedicated to gay days at Disney. Many gay people have gone through immense amounts of trauma as a child. Trauma, abuse, neglect, molestation, and rape. And they just love Disney because in their mind, they've already created the disassociative state, and Disney praises those people, those individuals that are already in a disassociative state. It gives credence to those visuals and raises them up on a pedestal and praises them for being non-connected to reality. Disney is a place dedicated to disassociation. It trains you to ignore all the chaos and focus on the happy little fun world that they've created. This is how witchcraft actually works. It needs trauma. It needs hurt, pain, and a void space created in your mind so that the demon can reside in that void space and take advantage of the emptiness and the disassociation that you play to avoid that trauma or pain. And this is how demons get access to you and manipulate your mind and your thoughts and your processes. This is why celebrities are required to sacrifice someone they love, to create a bigger void space, a bigger trauma hole, that the demon can enter and take more control of that person.
Okay, so I just figured it's a good time to stop, because that dude does go a long time. You know, the point of that's interesting, though, right? Like the no fathers thing and the trauma base. I mean, like, you know, if you know anything about MK Ultra or mind control, that's what the whole thing is.
Yeah.
It's all about trauma, and then you link something to that trauma, and then this person, you know, becomes a puppet of some sort through trauma.
His research and content was great. Mm-hmm. As soon as he said no fathers, I was like, that's what it was. And that song just started playing in my head. Like, it means no fathers for the rest of your days. But I'm glad he did touch on it, because that him and Simone, or the two baby lions,
Simone and Nala.
I don't think it was Simone. Simone and Simba. Oh. Simba and Nala. Simba, yeah. It more than likely are brother and sister. Now, if you break that down into the animal world, it's actually okay. It's not going to have effect. But they're playing it like they're humans. That is very odd that you're going to throw in some incestual love and what have you. Also, he touched on, okay, which I never even put two and two together. All these other Disney movies have characters. Like you were saying, what was the Hawaiian one? Reference before something? Moana?
Moana, yeah.
Moana. They all have human people. Lilo and Stitch, human people, right?
Sure.
Why you gotta make the Africans and tribal Africans setting, let's just make them animals. It does set a very, if you look at it that way, very negative strong point.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely weird. I don't know, man. There is a lot going on with the Disney movies always, right? It just, for me, it does not make sense. The obsession with, like, trying to make kids feel like, you know, whether it's sexualization or whether, like, you want to show them trauma or something, I just don't really understand it.
No.
Unless you're trying to make it exactly what we're saying it is, which is something fucked up.
Right. Do you know anybody that really likes Disney?
Not any adults. No.
None?
I don't think so.
See, anybody that I'm thinking that I might have went to high school with that are grown out. Now, granted, they take their kids, but when he touched on the whole gay thing and, you know, going through a lot of fucking trauma, anybody that I know that is an adult that still loves Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a lot of trauma.
You think
now,
so?
I had a lot of trauma in my life, but I never liked Disney. You know what I mean? Like, I was never drawn to it, but those type, maybe I found my escape in other ways or my alcohol, healing. Alcohol or even healing past some of the trauma or whatever. I never, maybe those people, okay, Disney's that's their alcohol or something. I don't know. But anybody that I do know of that likes Disney,
Yeah, they're a little, they do seem to cater to the gayer crowd. Because especially if you're a man and you're an adult and you still like Disney, you're probably gay, mm-hmm. right?
Or you're married and hiding it.
Yeah, or maybe you got kids and you can get into it. I understand, like, why women like, you know, these kids shows and stuff. I love cartoons, but I like, Family Guy and South Park and American Dad.
They're more of an adult-themed cartoon.
Yes, not hentai, but, you know, that Japanese porn.
I don't know what that is. I've never heard of it.
When
you said hentai, I was thinking that fake tattoo shit. What do they call
henna?
Henna.
No, yeah, hentai is like the squids fucking the tiny little Japanese schoolgirls and stuff.
What?
It's very strange. Yeah, it's weird. It's like, look it up sometime.
Man, I wish I could have done a Cat Williams impersonation because that would have fit perfectly right there. You're like what?
It would. Yeah, I mean, it's a strange
That's
strange
fucking
thing.
For this gross.
Reason. I'm sorry.
Shit.
Yeah, that was not.
Well, for this reason.
Yeah, that was like a translation of one of Hitler's speeches that we'll save for later.
All right.
No, but yeah, dude.
Those Japanese in some of their anime and cartoons, I never got into anime. I just thought it was just.
Yeah.
I don't know. It never clicked with me. I know how.
I fucked with Pokemon as a kid.
Well, I can see that. We're age different big time in numbers. Mentally, not so much in a lot of areas, but. That was your era. I was in the Air Force when that came out. So I was just like, what the fuck is this Pokemon shit? Like, I didn't get it. I was just, you know, I was more worried. Hey, let's booze. Let's have fun. Let's, you know, party. But even now, looking at some, I just like, I don't see the fascination. To me, it's like you're watching a cartoon that they're trying to make look like a video game that looks
some
like
of the
real
girls
life.
Have I crazy know. Bodies. That's why I think a lot of dudes like it. Ron from Ron Weed. I almost said Ron from England. Ron Weed loves anime.
Yes.
And I don't think he doesn't love it because of the girls, but I mean, he likes it just because like the storylines and he feels like there's like a, for people that get into it, they say that it's, you know, there's deeper storylines and it's more like engaging than, you know, American TV and cartoons and shit, which I could buy. But I can't get past the subtitles and like the, you know, the accents.
Like, I'm not going to knock anybody for liking it because I like dumb shit that probably people are like, how the fuck can you just sit down and watch a documentary about that? You know what I mean? Or watch a movie about this.
Or play darts,
which I didn't even talk about. I haven't played. I didn't get a. Well, we did. No, never mind. We did. I apologize.
You played this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't do too good.
Yeah. Were you fucked up?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't throw. I have to at least if we're going to throw, I got to start 1 to 2 beers in. I'm good. But if
you can't
I start
going like 8 beers deep.
No.
Okay.
No, I lose all.
I feel like that's when I would thrive in darts. So if we ever get to hang out sometime, I might, you know, get you fucked up and be like, dude, let's play some darts.
That's how my buddy is, dude. Like, I swear the drunker he gets, the better he gets.
I feel like I would thrive. It seems like beer pong to me. You're throwing a thing, you know, kind of delicately. You know, I'm gonna see if we can dart shark you. Did you see this new KFC commercial? Have you heard about that?
Oh, I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
Okay.
And everybody's like, they're telling you in your fucking face what they're putting in their fucking chicken.
And it ain't chicken.
And it ain't chicken.
Well, dude, there's been a lot of theories about this with McDonald's when that rabbi came out and he was like, yeah, we kidnap kids and then we sell them to McDonald's and they put them in the meat and all this shit. Now, who knows if that was some neo-Nazi pretending to be a rabbi and he's, you know, I mean, you can go all kinds of different directions with that. But KFC... straight up telling you that they're putting human meat in their chicken breasts or chicken tenders or whatever the fuck you're eating. Now, I don't see how they could do this with the bone chicken, right? Maybe they're feeding humans to the chicken.
I mean, a chicken will eat any fucking thing. They'll eat their own.
Oh, I know.
I used to love watching them.
Ghost of fucking serial killer.
No, you throw the turkey carcass down there after Thanksgiving or whatever, and they'd pick it cleaner than they're no meat, and they just have a little tiny beak, clean, boom, and it's like, whoa,
yeah, they're winged rats pretty much, but they do taste good if they're done right. So I'm gonna play this ad. I'm not gonna put the music on. I'm just gonna kind of talk over it because there's more audio listeners than there is people that tune in live. So, and there's no talking in it. So it's just, you know, music that's playing. Maybe there's talking in the original ad or sounds, but, you know, they just have the creepy conspiracy theme music over it, you know, to make it extra scary for you. So I'm going to mute it. We'll talk about it. And then we'll play some thoughts on it. So here it is.
Here it is.
So it starts off in a forest. This dude makes eye contact with a fucking chicken, and the chicken's looking at him. You know, looks like a showdown, like they're about to fight. And it ends up being a person that slips a little vest on. I think it's a female, walks up to this dude and stares right at him. I think the female's supposed to represent the chicken at this point. And then people come out of the woodwork. There's people coming down from trees, people walking from all sides of this forest, all to one area, similar to how chickens do if you feed them, right?
Yeah.
So there's these two people that get risen up above the crowd of human chickens, and then the chickens all split. They run away, different directions, same way they came. You see a nice little forest scene here, little choreography. There's a giant golden egg that's being brought in and slams down, and people are struggling to carry this golden egg to wherever it's going. Okay. More of the chicken people. All these people are wearing brown.
Mm-hmm. Like,
so, you know.
Because a lot of people think, like, farm-raised chickens normally are brown. Like, mine were brownish red.
Right.
There are white chickens, yes. The whatever. We won't get into it. But, yeah.
I won't bore you with the details right now. But, yeah. So, then they get up. They bring this golden chicken up to, like, the edge of a lake. And they're looking into this lake. It's, like, a brown, nasty, kind of looks like frying oil. Almost. It's gross. So one of the human chickens is carrying this other human chicken into the lake. The guy's stiff as a board. Looks like he's probably dead. Rigor mortis set in. Looks like they're getting baptized. They throw him in this water.
It's supposed to be gravy.
I mean, maybe gravy, but I mean, the guy comes out. The guy goes in as a human, comes out as a fried chicken tender.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think gravy necessarily fries things up like that.
Well, the video that I did see and some of the commentary, it's supposed to be a boiling thing. They're gravy. They're known for the gravy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, either way, what they do is the whole thing about this commercial is that they're, you know, taking people and turning them into chicken, which is strange.
Uh-huh.
Now, what this guy has to say about it is interesting, and I tend to agree with everything that he says here. So here it is.
All right.
So KFC is trying to tell us the truth about what we eating without telling us the truth about what we eating. So KFC put out a new ad. And in this new ad, let's just say it's a whole bunch of shit that don't got nothing to do with eating chicken. And for lack of a better words, in that video, it looks like they're saying that they've been feeding us people and not chicken. Matter of fact, look at this shit. Look at this shit. This ain't even a whole commercial. The whole commercial is crazy than this. Look at this shit. So what this mean right here? Oh, no. Look. So you just turned a human into a chicken tender, right? Okay. Believe in the what? In the chicken. And this takes me back to the video that I made about McDonald's selling 6.5 million burgers a day. Where the hell is all of this chicken coming from? What I'll say is this. These people have a way of letting us know what's going on without letting us know what's going on. And that commercial, ad, or whatever you want to call it, just told me everything that I needed to know. See, this is the reason why I don't really like to eat fast food right now. And I'm not telling you to stop eating fast food. You can do what you want. The only thing I'm asking is, how many pieces of chicken do KFC sell in a day? And once y'all tell me that, then we'll understand what's going on over there. These people are selling what? Look at that ad again. Tell me what you think that ad is saying. Because that ad is speaking volumes. I'm out of here. It's okay.
Speaking volumes.
Volume
is a solid, I think it's a painkiller.
No, it's a mood stabilizer. It was big popular in the 80s.
Valiums?
Yeah, with rich people. Oh, I need a Valium. I can't handle the stress.
You sure it's not a...
they're downers. They were like the prequel to a Xanax.
Oh, yeah, it's a treat anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I wanted to see right now, I'm going to see how many chickens are killed in a year. How many...
And he's only talking about KFC. You're forgetting about Popeyes. You're forgetting about Chick-fil-A. I'll put Wendy's in there because a lot of people like their chicken sandwich. What's another one? Is it Canes? Raising Canes?
Yeah, well, dude. Or
Boston Markets?
The number is shocking, actually. Guess how many chickens are slaughtered in a year? Globally.
Globally?
Because there's KFCs all over the world.
643 billion.
Jesus, that's way too much.
You're like, Jesus. I just went off of...
you just want Hank, chickens to go extinct.
Right, well, I just went off of Hank's number in the double play and then just added a billion.
Yeah, no, it's 70 to 80 billion, which is a fuckload.
That is a lot.
I mean, that's eight times the amount of... No, that's 10 times the amount of humans that are around on the world today.
Supposedly. But I will say, they can have up to, if they're mating and you got a rooster and what have you, they can hatch out a dozen chicks and 6 months later, and now we're talking meat birds too, because meat birds are different than egg-laying birds. So yeah. when you're talking meat birds, okay, 6 months, boom, they're fat, they're ready, boom, slaughter them. Do it all over again. And now that's just one chicken.
Yeah.
You're going to have thousands of chickens on a farm. So, I don't know.
Well, the thing is here, like KFC, they according to AI overview on Google, they say that KFC serves over 12 million customers daily. And some of these people get, like, the pieces of wings. Some of these people get, like, you know, the combos and whatever. So, there's millions of pieces of chicken that are given out by KFC every day. So 365 days in a year. I mean, if you just take, let's take, I mean, millions, that could be as low as two. It can be as high as, you know, 999, right? Right. Or no. Yeah, 999, because 100 million is a billion. So 909, I mean, it's not very clear, but we'll just go in the middle. We'll say 40 million, just to be, you know, conservative. So 40 million pieces of chicken. Which there's multiple pieces of chicken in a chicken, right?
Oh yeah, you got two.
This is drunk math.
Okay, you got two breasts, you got two legs, you got two thighs, you got two wings. But if you split the wings in half, you get a drummy and a thigh, so that'd be four. So yeah, I mean a chicken goes a long way.
So I mean we're talking 146 billion pieces of chicken. And then 146 billion pieces of chicken with the 80 billion chickens. And that's just one chain, and that's a year.
Huh.
Something's not adding up there.
No.
Right?
No, and we're two dumb white guys. And we're sitting here going, not adding up, not adding up.
Well, maybe that means it adds up perfectly. I'm just saying, you know, it doesn't make any fucking sense. That is a lot of food. And I mean, there's fillers in this stuff, you know. But I don't know, man. That's a wild thing to think, because I've eaten KFC. I used to love KFC.
I used to too. I used to destroy it like a fucking Viking.
Yeah, that's hot.
I think the most I ate in one sitting, now it was just chicken, was close to I think it was 26 pieces.
Jesus.
Yeah, I didn't eat for like 3 days.
It's fucking disgusting.
Yeah,
I feel like right now if I ate 26 pieces of fried of KFC, I'd have a heart attack and die.
Yeah, I don't know how I didn't. I don't even know how I didn't have a fucking stroke, and not
like a coronary.
Yeah, like, and I was just sitting there.
How old were you?
This was probably 12 years ago.
Nah, that's your prime eating years.
Yeah, so I was kind of in my 30s, late 30s.
Well, never mind, because yeah, I'm in my early to mid 30s, 34 here.
Right.
So
I was a little older than you are now, and I was just taking the chicken, fucking dipping it in the gravy, and fucking plug. We had a contest at work. It was during our inventory. They used to cater KFC for us, and me and the other guys were like, oh, betting how many pieces of chicken you can eat. And I'm like, I'm a fat motherfucking bastard. I'll fucking kill all y'all. And I did. Yeah. I didn't feel great about it at all.
Yeah. You should have just thrown it up afterwards. It probably took years off your life doing
it. Probably that. Did. Probably.
Hey, but did. It was worth it because you won.
It was worth it, and I did win. And, man, it did taste great at the time. It really did, but
oof. Just felt bad for 2 weeks afterwards.
not one of these achievements.
Yeah, it's one of those like you hide under your desk kind of achievements. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like jacking off more than your friends in a day. Yeah, or something. You're
like, I did that. That was me.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yep, me.
Tough luck. All right, so here's another one. We're kind of shifting gears here a little bit. This is fun. Life Explained is a video game. Ooh. You're not big into video games, but
I used to be.
Well, you should get a fucking PlayStation. I don't have time to play. Dude, yes, you do. You come home and you fuck around. We can play PlayStation. You can get in with me and Ron and Jared, and you can have a good time, right? Drink a little bit.
Yeah, but then you're going to take away from my punch of my clown time.
There's always time for that. You can do that in 30 seconds when you wake up in the morning. It's fine.
That's true. I probably could. Probably 15.
Yeah, there's a lot of time to play video games, and it's fucking addicting as fuck, and it's very fun. So there's this thing that explains this in a fun way, and I like this. It's kind of funny, but it's also, like, very true.
Okay.
So here it is.
So since the first playable characters came out, the devs have been working on the human player type for what seems like 3 billion years, and I'll admit that I haven't even gotten through all the levels yet, but I've been pretty impressed so far, so I wanted to give a critical review of the current content. Now, if this is your first time playing, I definitely recommend picking one of the starting regions with lower difficulty, which I put in green here. All the servers are getting pretty overpopulated right now, so you can pick one of the yellow regions if the recommended ones are full. But really try not to go for the areas in red unless you really know what you're doing or are just trying to speedrun the game. Pretty much all areas are player versus environment zones, but there are a few player versus player areas around here. And if you really want to play on a private server, you can do that over here. But the admins aren't so great, and it sucks if you change your mind because after you're there, you can't leave, so I'd probably give it a miss. Okay, at the start you have to choose a race, and in the past Caucasian male was definitely the most OP, but they've all become a lot more balanced in more recent patches, at least in the easier starting regions. But if you look at the race perks tab, still some nice privileges with this choice, so that's what I went with. Okay, so once you've chosen your starting region and race, you have to go through a 9-month loading screen while your character spawns, and that already sounds bad, but what's even worse is that once you've actually spawned, you have to go through 18 levels of tutorial, the first few of which are just interactive cutscenes. Even when you get to start moving around and interacting with the environment, what kind of sucks is that the only other users you really get to interact with are the two parent players that take you through the start of the tutorial. So, since the first playable characters came out, the devs have been working on the human player type for what seems like 3 billion years, and I'll admit that I haven't even gotten through all the levels yet, but I've been pretty impressed so far, so I wanted to give a critical review of the current content. Now, if this is your first time playing, I definitely recommend picking one of the starting regions with lower difficulty, which I put in green here. All the servers are getting pretty overpopulated right now, so you can pick one of the yellow regions of the...
Restarted seamlessly.
Yeah, it did.
But yeah, it's great. Like just going through, like you pick your area to live. You know, if you had that ability as, you know, if we just don't remember where we come from, and like we're fully conscious and we're like, I want to be this here. I want to be a white dude living in the U.S. or I want to be a fucking.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
I want to struggle a little bit. I want to be a fucking, black baby in, you know, Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. Just to switch it up. My last life was pretty good. Let's make this one hard. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's like a wild.
I love flies.
I mean, if you don't care about what your character is going through, you know what I mean? Like there's some people in like video games that want to be like badass. Mm-hmm. And then there's other ones that want to be like shit on. So you wonder if like your whatever's controlling, like your soul or whatever picks you to go and live this life that you're living, if it's possible that, like, maybe you're going to come back. You know, you've had a decent life, right? I feel like I've had a decent life. What if the next one's real hard or way better?
Well, that, you know? That kind of goes into the there is a theory out there that we do kind of pick where we go, because we have to if we go back and actually respawn, it's because we didn't learn everything that we needed to learn, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we might pick a different region or different time period, whatever, to go back into. And sometimes it could be difficult, sometimes it could be easy, but to learn everything that we need to learn in order to be full conscious. It's just a theory.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's definitely it's fun to think about that kind of stuff. Because, yeah, no one, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, at our consciousness level right now, we don't know what the fuck happens after we die or what happened before. So
right.
It's fun to think about.
Oh, speaking of the weekend, I remember what you did. You went to the Ren Fair.
Oh, yeah, I did. I did do that.
You said it was expensive as fuck and hot as fuck.
Yeah, it was expensive. It was hot. It would have been more fun. There was the Tucson 4th Avenue Street Fair was going on that same weekend. Would have been more fun to go to that in hindsight.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, fucking 20th of the drive, and it would have been, you know, cheaper. You'd still do the same shit.
Better food.
But, I mean, it was still cool, man. It's a once a year thing, so it was cool. Am I in a rush to go back? No, but it was fun.
That is why I don't think because I love history. And when you said that's where you were, I was like, oh, cool. You know, learn something about Vikings, whatever.
Yeah.
which in those places, if they're done right, you could. But I've never went to one of those, because anybody that I've ever talked to gave me the same feedback that you did.
Yeah.
Too expensive. I mean, I could watch a documentary and make some good food at home and get a better understanding or have a better time.
I mean, to me, dude, and you know, maybe I'm getting more cynical and stuff, but to me, what it felt like was a money grab. That's all that it seemed like to me. There was no, and like, I'm not going somewhere. Like, I went there because I wanted to drink and, like, you know, watch some weird people, which we got that, you know, we saw that. But, you know, it would be cool to kind of learn.
What are you saying? Vikings are weird?
Dude, there wasn't like that many Viking looking people. That was just like, I don't know. I don't understand where the theme came in.
So was this a Ren Fair or a rom-com?
It was a Renaissance festival. Yeah, Ren Fair.
A Ren Fair. Or not rom. Rom.
Not a rom-com, but a fucking Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, yeah. What the fuck's rom-con?
That's a romantic comedy.
Oh, yeah. It definitely wasn't that.
No. No, I mean, yeah, what it was literally, it seemed like a money grab. The prices on the art and the fucking clothes that are made out of fucking, you know, scrap fucking fabric, you know. These things were expensive, dude.
Yeah.
Like, there was wooden mugs that were like $400, $200 for like small coffee cups. If you want like a pint, it was like $400. And then some of these like dresses and shit that are there, that again, like, they're cool. I understand. It's not something that you're going to wear out and about.
No.
You're going to wear it once a year. Fucking $700, $900 for some of these fucking things.
Now,
so, you know, the shows were gay. We tried to watch some jousting, and you'd think, what do you think jousting is? Two dudes fucking running at each other and knock each other off the horse.
Right.
They were like running and stabbing like foam blocks. It was gay. So that, you know, we watched it for 30 seconds. We're like, okay, this is not what we thought it was. So again, it could be cool. If it wasn't so hot, I would have been cool to like walk around, look at some more shit. I don't know, man. You know, what I think's cooler than, like, if they would have done like that medieval MMA.
Okay. You know, yeah.
That'd be dope. I'd go and I'd watch that for like 6 hours, you know, just watch these dudes beat the fuck out of each other with armor on. It could have been cooler. I'd go back, but I don't need to go back next year by any means. It's one of those things where, you know, you can go once in your lifetime and be like, oh yeah, that was cool. And
right.
Then that's it, you know?
I don't know. I understand where they want to charge all this money. Most of it's probably handmade, okay?
Sure.
Now, are they using the most expensive wood? Probably not. But if you're a business owner, the basic rule of thumb is whatever it costs you to make times that by three, and that's what you sell it for. So if it costs me $10 times that by three, I sell it for $30 because then that's going to cover my costs and $10 is my profit. But I think what you're saying is
$20 is your profit.
No, 10, 10, 10.
If it costs you $10 to make it and you're selling it for $30, you're profiting $20.
No.
If it costs you $10 to make it, you sell it for $30, you're profiting $20.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Ho.
Hey, how you doing there, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, if there's like shipping and shit like that, right? Yeah, I understand that.
You're gonna increase more, but $600 or $400, whatever you said for a fucking mug, get the fuck out of here! I'll go whittle myself. I'll go cut a tree down and figure out how to whittle myself a fucking mug myself. And have fun doing it.
That's kind of what I was saying. That actually sounds fun. Like, if you can cut out a nice chunk of wood, you'd have to really learn how to do that shit. But, yeah, that's a good idea.
Out here on the East Coast, we have a lot of hardwoods and what have you. And they get these big old knots on them that kind of grow out. They call them borels. I guess you could liken it to, like, a... if it was on a person, it'd be like a tumor or something like that. Like, they just get bit. Yeah. Well, out here, they'll find that a tree, they'll cut that off, and then they take the bark off and everything, and they make bowls out of them. Not like a smoke weed bowl, but like a salad bowl or something like that. And they sell for a lot of money. Like, I can understand why. They're super dense, super hard, you know, and you can go through a lot of tools on a lathe, dulling them, because the wood is actually that hard to get into them. But some of the bowls that people make, especially like in deep Appalachia, are really fucking cool.
Mm.
Would I pay that? No, I would like to learn how to make one. You know what I mean? But
yeah, it'd be fun to make one actually. But then, like, you know, it'd probably take you fucking 6 months to make one, and then you're like, yeah, I don't want to fucking sell these, you know?
Right.
Because, I imagine there's a lot of craftsmanship, but again, dude, it's just not, it didn't feel like a thing that was about fun. It felt like it was all a money grab. Yeah, there was some cool stuff. And last thing I'll say about this thing, the food was fucking horrible. The traditional thing there that you do is you eat the turkey leg.
Yeah. Right?
Go around, you eat a big turkey leg. We got this thing called steak on a stick. Now, what do you think steak on a stick would be?
To me, that would just be like a shish kebab. Or you take ground meat, you pat it together, put it on a skewer. It could be ground steak or whatever, kind of how they do over in, like your Middle Eastern countries or whatever.
Yeah, kebab.
Yeah, kebab. And then
skewer.
Or a skewer, yeah. What was
it? This was a piece of steak on a fucking giant toothpick.
What?
Yeah. And it with no seasoning. It was just literally just meat. The meat was cooked fine. It was like, you know, medium.
So it was overdone.
It was overdone, but it's cheap steak. So I'm not trying to eat like cheap ass steak raw, you know, because it was a $13 thing. It wasn't like it was overpriced. You know, it was a good amount of food for what it was. Took like 8 bites of this fucking thing and then threw it out. You know, it was not, and I felt bad because, like, I hate wasting meat, but I was kind of pissed off. So, yeah, it was a fun thing. It was a fun, different thing to do.
Hey, you get like me. It's a Pisces thing. Now, this has nothing to do with meat. I ordered a new shirt for work, right? I'm like, I'm a big and tall guy. I've been ordering these polos, what have you, 3X, you know. They're fitting just nice. I order a 3X. This motherfucker came down to my fucking knees. I looked like I was wearing a muumuu. I looked in the mirror. I said, I took it off. I fucking threw it on the fucking ground. I was like, fuck this. My daughter's like, are you going to return? I'm like, fuck no. No.
What do you get? Are they just plain black polos?
This one was like a charcoal gray. I usually wear darker colors, but like, yeah, but yeah, like, huh. But I got it from this store called DXL.
Oh, yeah, that's big and tall shit.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize I probably should have just got my normal size, which is like 2X.
Yeah, or an XL.
Or an XL, like. Yeah.
Yeah, the big and tall shit's hard to gauge.
It is, because, you know, if it was a long sleeve shirt, I probably could have got away with it if I was going to tuck it in, but I don't like to tuck my shirts in and what have you if I don't have to.
Yeah, you look like a fag if you tuck your shirt in.
Yeah, and then you get the muffin top look. Anyway, back to the show, people.
Yeah, enough of the Ren Faire and disappointing things. Check out...
Oh, and by the way, my vape was in my pocket the whole time.
Oh, great. Well, good.
Yeah, I stepped away for 2.5 seconds for nothing.
At least you're on top of it today. So, dude, I've mentioned this before. You know the whole self-help movement and all this stuff where it's like, you know, go to therapy. Nah, you know, you don't have the tools inside your own brain to fix yourself.
That's
so
bullshit.
Come to us and we'll pay you, or we'll charge you, not pay you, we'll charge you, and, you know, we'll not help you, basically. This lady breaks this down so well, and I just agree with essentially everything that she says here. Now, I haven't heard this in a week, so, you know, when I say I agree with everything she says.
You could remember something different.
Yes. So, but listen to what she says, and check this out. Here it is.
Maybe it's just me, but I thought that the goal was to create awareness, to, you know, normalize seeking help, to make therapy accessible, to remove the shame around mental health struggles. But somewhere along the way, destigmatizing mental health has taken on a life of its own. And now, instead of people getting better, I just feel like people are getting worse. We didn't just normalize therapy. We've turned it into a personality trait. We didn't just encourage self-awareness. We turned every feeling into a diagnosis. And instead of using mental health language as a tool, we've started using it as a shield, justifying avoidance, self-sabotage, and emotional fragility in the name of protection. Now everything is a trigger. Everything is trauma. People say, I can't do this. It's bad for my mental health. When what they really mean is, this is hard and I don't want to deal with it. But since when did mental health become about avoiding life instead of learning how to handle it? Good mental health isn't about comfort. It's about capacity. It's about having the emotional, the psychological, and the cognitive range to handle life as it comes. Not just when it's easy, but especially when it's hard. Your mental health should be challenged, because if your mental health can't withstand stress, discomfort, or uncertainty, then you don't have mental strength. You have emotional dependence based on the right circumstances, and life does not care about your circumstances. And I'm serious, y'all. Like, really, ask yourself, has your mental health journey actually made you stronger, or has it made you retreat further into protecting yourself in the name of good mental health?
She makes a lot of good points, and the one that sticks out the most is one that, hell, I even used it on my daughter. I can't means I won't. And I won't means we're going to have a fucking big problem, because you can do anything. You can do anything. Is it going to be challenging? Is it going to be hard to get through? Abso-fucking-lutely. That's called life.
Yeah.
You know, life is challenging. So if I fully agree with everything that she said, because I all these young kids, they're like, well, it's not good for my mental health if I do this, and this triggers me, and I think I need a service animal because I just don't know, this one person one time just really upset me, and now I have PTSD. It's like, go tell that to somebody that really has fucking PTSD. What we used to call shell shock back in the day. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no, you ain't got shit. It's like potential. Potential means you ain't done shit yet. That's all it means. Like, get the fuck out of here with this. I can't. Go do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely people that go through shit and they have to, you know, take some time to figure it out and shit. Right. But I mean, you have to just do it instead of trying to rely on whether it's therapy or whether it's you know, the whole mental health thing. I think is it's cringy, and I hate to use that word, but it's stupid. Maybe like, just to use an old school term. It's stupid. Like just
what they figured out is how the medical industry puts a Band-Aid over everything. So you keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. We get your money, right. They finally figured out, oh shit, why aren't we doing what they do? Because then we can start making more money and tease them with, well, you got a little better this week. You actually liked looking at a cloud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You could go outside without hyperventilating. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Well, so the whole thing with the mental health too, a lot of these people, the mental health thing came about the same time that like the LGBT thing came up, right? Right around that same time where this whole push for mental health. So society's creating these people, these young kids that are born with a penis, and then they think that they want to cut it off at 7 years old because they're being programmed to think that it's okay. If you have some feminine thoughts or you like some girly shit. Dude, when I was a little boy, man, I liked fucking playing with Barbies and G.I. Joes. You know what I mean? I used to make them fuck. I'm not going to lie. I used to make them have sex.
Yeah,
and I liked taking the clothes off of the Barbies. And my dad probably thought I was gay because like I would always have the clothes on when I was out. But I liked looking at the boobs.
Right.
You know, there's no nipples on them.
No.
But I liked looking at the bodies of the fucking Barbies. I didn't know. I didn't understand it back then.
No.
I was just like, there's something cool about these things.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you're doing this stuff. And like today, if I was a kid today, I'd be encouraged to be gay because I'm bringing around a naked Dorothy from Wizard of Oz at the zoo. You know what I mean? So to me, man, it's just like, yeah, just like let these kids figure out what they're going to do, who they want to be. You know, I've never been attracted to dudes. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? But I would play with some girly shit when I was little because I fucking, for whatever reason, was attracted to it. So, yeah, man, creating the mental illness in these people and then profiting off of it is, I think, exactly what they're trying to do.
Well, when you hit on a key point, they create the mental illness. I saw a video. Is it? I want to say it might be Maine. No, I'm sorry. It's in New Jersey, where now, when you're giving birth and part of the birth certificate and give that whole procedure, before you like even on the birth certificate, fill out the name and what have you, you have to check, is your child transgender, non-binary, all these other things, and then other, like male, female, transgender, get like what the. You're making like they're taking it too fucking far, in my opinion. Like, I don't know. I just don't get this whole pansexual, non-binary, call me old, I don't know, or like back when I was young, if you were a guy posing as a girl, you were like, we call them transvestites. We were just like, you're just a fucking, you're a tranny. Like, what the, like, you're a tranny, dude. Like, whatever, you know? And maybe some guys did that just, and didn't act on it, you know, and were male and masculine in their daily. But it's been shoved down our throats. To the point where, and you made that point where the mental health came into it. Well, you create a problem, you react, and a solution.
Exactly. Yeah, man. It's strange, and I like what Ron says here from Imaginary Method. He says, straights like pink, gays like brown. Couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, that's exactly exactly what it was for me. But I didn't understand it. You know, when you're fucking 6, 7, 8 years old, you don't really get what sex is. I used to think that babies were made by rubbing bellies together, right? So
holy shit, are you serious?
Yeah, I thought that's what you did to make a baby.
That's what I thought when I was a fucking kid.
Yeah, you take
that's
your man,
fucking
Billy.
Weird. I've never heard anybody. We've never had this fucking conversation ever in our entire fucking existence of living on this planet. You and I. That's exact. I thought you just rub belly buttons together.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was.
That is fucking weird.
I thought it's what it was, and I didn't understand. I didn't think that. I mean, I knew I had to take a woman and a man.
Right.
But I didn't realize, like, hey, yeah, this little thing dangling from underneath my belly button is what you use to put inside of something magical.
Dude,
and then it turns into a baby. So, you know.
I'm sorry. I can't let that go. That's fucking hilarious because I thought the same thing. I'm 49 years old. You're 34.
Like, yeah.
Poof.
It's a Pisces thing, you know?
Oh.
That's what Pisces think making babies is.
That is.
But
Can I make a quick point to what Ron says?
Yes.
Straights like pink, gays like brown. Hey, it doesn't matter what woman around the world, they call it the shocker for a reason. Two in the pink and one in the stink. Every yeah. girl's pink on the inside, bro.
Yeah, their asses are brown, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, whose isn't? Mine probably is. I haven't looked at it, but...
Mine's probably black.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, everybody poops out of it, but... My point was, everybody's pink on the inside. That's what we like.
Another thing, though, I had for my fifth birthday, I think it was, I had the Pink Ranger come. You know how people would have like Power Rangers come to their birthday?
Wasn't she supposedly really hot?
Yeah. Yeah. I love the Pink Ranger.
Yeah, I never, and it's funny that they used pink for the female. Not only, okay, yes.
And yellow
pink.
For the Asian female.
Yeah.
Like, so.
But. Never mind.
And then red, blue, and green, or red, blue, and white, depending on where you're at and the whole thing. Red, blue, and, you know. But, yeah, dude, I love the Pink Ranger, and I wanted her to come to my birthday because I wanted to see what was under that uniform, you know what I mean? And it was just some fucking, you know, who knows, some teenager or something. But I was five. I was interested in, like, just, you know, all things female for some reason. So, yeah, I mean, for some reason. We know what I wanted. I just didn't understand it, dude. Like, that's the whole thing. You don't need to let these kids really understand what sex is until they're in their fucking teen years, man.
Right. Like, and don't tell them what they think they need to know. That's what's going on today. They get told, oh, you need to like this. You need to do this. You need – so-and-so's doing this. When we grew up, we didn't have that. It was just like, hey, go be yourself, whatever. Your dad probably thought you were gay, but – He let you do whatever. Little Ryan was just like, "Ooh, boobies, ooh,
yeah.
Button, woohoo!"
And I still love boobs today.
Yes,
you know.
I'm sorry. I don't. And call me weird. As a man, I don't know how you can't look at, and unless they're like Lizzo. But, like, look at a woman's body and not say, that is one of the most attractive things on this planet. Like,
oh, yeah.
Hands down.
Better than a sunset.
Right. Now, I can reverse that because I'm not a girl and be like, how do they look at us and think we're fucking sexy? You know what I mean? Because I don't think guys are good looking. You know what I mean? Like, but that's the opposite attraction. That's natural. That's the natural attraction.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, guys are gross, man. We fart.
Yeah.
We take stinky shits. You know, it's gross. But, I mean.
We burp.
Yeah. Indigestion.
Yeah. You know,
just gross stuff.
Do some snot rockets now and again.
Oh, yeah. I light my shower up every morning with snot rockets.
Fuck yeah.
But there was something else I was going to say about that whole topic, and it just slipped out of my mind. So we'll move on.
All right, let's move on. Slipped out of you like a stinky pinky.
Yeah. Let's get into this. So Tyson sent this in, your favorite.
Oh, fuck yeah.
He's obsessed with frequencies and, like, you know, all kinds of shit like that. And it's interesting stuff, but this is kind of wild. So, like, they're able to grow in China. They're experimenting with growing fruits and vegetables with frequencies.
Tyson, so, I know you listen to the show. Hit me up on IG, man. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Send him a dick pic. That's what he really wants.
I don't know if Big Country listens, but we won't even get into that.
Yeah.
Don't send me a dick pic because you're going to get something back that you're not going to like.
His asshole. So check this out. This is pretty interesting, and it's a fun concept. I just wonder what the nutritional value of this kind of stuff would be, but here it is.
You slice fruits or vegetables the right way. They make the same shapes that sound makes. That is a pattern you'll see if you put a dish of water on a speaker. The same pattern you see in that melon can be recreated with a vibration at around 12 hertz. So if that frequency makes the shape, can we reverse the shape to get the frequency? Kind of. That one's split into fours because the wave goes up and down four times in one cycle. Put the ends of the wave together, then you have your circular radial harmonics that you see in the water. That one would be five, and that one would be six. If you put drops of oil in the water, that pattern will organize the oil drops. With the right frequency, you can replicate the same pattern that DNA makes when viewed from the top down. And if you put it in the freezer while it's making these patterns, you can freeze the shape. So here's my question. Does this little seed have the code to freeze watermelon.mp3 in reality? China's actually researching this to increase crop yields. Up to 30% more in some cases. This one found a frequency that could increase the rate of photosynthesis in plants. Let's go deep for a second though. Almost every single ancient culture had beings that came and gave the gifts of civilization and agriculture. Here's the thing, you go to enough of these places, you start to see flowers everywhere. Instead of decorations that were inspired by nature, could they instead be details on how to replicate these things using the language of sonic geometry? Once you see it, you can't unsee it. I am sorry, but this is an obsession of mine. Vibration is the same whether it's electromagnetics or sound. They're intricately linked. The geometric connection between life and them is what I will be focusing on this year. To publish my new stuff, I have to take down some of the old stuff. I will be removing four books of mine from the site by the end of this month, so now is the time to get the OG content if you want it. More on that.
Okay, we're not promoting this guy's stuff, but no. Interesting concept, no?
Very interesting. I forget where I heard it. So this time of year, spring, okay? How I heard it in a podcast or explained, the birds in the morning, they chirp, they start singing before the sun comes up, a little bit before the sun comes up. That noise stimulates all the flowers, the grass, the trees, and kind of wakes it up. Sound and frequency are huge. We've talked about this a lot. In everything. You had a woman on that talked about sound with water and what have you. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago. And then you get into, and I know you're going to hate this, but the Fibonacci sequence. And
I don't like the Fibonacci sequence.
Oh, I always thought you said I was gay for the Fibonacci sequence.
No.
Oh, okay. But then Tool released an album, Lateralis, that whole album was played in a Fibonacci sequence. And everybody was kind of standoffish about it at first. One of their best albums. One of their fucking best albums. You get into hearing back in the day, talk to your plants or do this or do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you're finding play soothing music or some kind of frequency. They get bigger and bigger and bigger and grow.
Or do the electroculture.
Yes. Stuff,
right?
Yes. So
those are frequencies too.
And then you look back into ancient history with like bells and what have you. Were those places like a hospital where you got brought in and they'd ring the bell and the frequency would like heal your body?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and then obviously we know big music changed the frequency from what was
the it? Rockefellers.
Yeah. The Rockefellers. 30s. Yeah. So I don't know that I love that stuff. Sometimes it goes over my head. I have to listen to it two or three times to get it.
Right.
Especially when Tyson sends a lot of stuff. It's like,
they're oh just boy, distracted.
You just slap me with a fish. I gotta listen to it again.
Well, dude, so talking about that dude's stuff, and he mentioned that he was selling books. We're not trying to sell his book, but no. There is this this guy that Jarl, our one of our good Canadian listeners out there, friend of the show, he sent in something where his friend is selling a book, and I don't have a video or nothing for it, but you know, we like to support our friends and our friends' friends. So this dude came out with a book, and it's called Beating the System, A Practical and Spiritual Guide for a Better World. And Jarl wanted me to just, you know, shout this out. I'm going to try to remember to put the link to download this for free in my show notes. If you want to do it too, I mean, I'll send it to you, but I'm, you know, I'm going to forget if someone doesn't remind me. So
is that what's on the screen?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This here. So that's the guy's page. But it's basically just kind of figuring out how to navigate the world from this dude's perspective. Sounds interesting. It's free. You can donate if you want to support his work. If you end up reading it and you like it, you can donate to him here on this link. So I'm going to try to remember to put that in the show notes. But I like anything about beating the system. That's always a cool idea. So it sounds fun. Jarl's a good dude. He said it's a great read. Jarl's another one of these like really smart dudes. He's into a lot of that similar shit, like frequencies. He's I wouldn't call him a hippie type guy, but he's one of those dudes where it's just like, you know, he focuses on,
I'd say more like an off grid type guy.
Exactly. That's a great way to explain it. So yeah, Beating the System, you know, Jarl, an off grid kind of guy, is, you know, appreciating this work, and it's his buddy. So Davey Wavy's had this guy on his podcast. Nice. The guy was called Joost, J-O-O-S-T, and yeah, his writing handle is Ignis Veritatis. So no idea what the fuck I just said there, but that's what his thing is. So if you want to check that out, like I said, I'll do my best to remember to put that in the show notes. But
that means Ryan won't remember, and I won't get it sent to me either.
I will send it to you right now, just so that you can't. So that you can't. You have no excuse.
Yeah, I won't have any excuse. I'll put it in and you'll still forget.
No, I'm going to try to remember.
Yeah, I'm going to try too.
I'm going to send it to you and Joe because that's the first one that's popping up in my feeds.
All right.
So, yeah, dude. It's always cool when people are writing books, man. I'd love to write a fucking book. I'm just not. I
would too. I have a few books that I've gotten from, you know, guests over the years.
Yeah.
I just don't have time to sit down and read them.
Yeah. It's tough.
It is. And I don't know how to read.
So I think this can probably potentially be our last clip.
Okay.
I wanted to throw this out there. I mean, I got some funny ones we can run through as well.
Oh, yeah. We got to end on some light note.
Yeah. Let me see if I have any funny ones for after this. But this is fun. We all love pizza. Right? And it's not some child fucking pedophile stuff like it was with the QAnon shit.
Right.
Pizza's great. It's one of my favorite foods.
It is. And it's got to be thin crust. I'm sorry.
I do like a thin crust. And you know what's interesting is this dude talks about why dough is like fucking you up. And it's not just because it's bread and our shitty bread that we have here in this country. Mm-hmm. But this makes a lot of sense, dude. So listen to why pizza, because every time I eat like big, like thick crust pizza or whatever, I always feel like shit afterwards. Yeah. Now, cheese and bread, that's already going to fuck you up if you eat a lot of it. So this is a nice take, and it'll kind of, you know, make some things make sense. If you ever eat too much pizza and feel like shit afterwards, this is why. So here we go.
All right.
This is the number one thing that's making you sick when you eat pizza. We've already pissed some people off talking about tomatoes and talking about cooking pizza on screens. And I would say this is the number two biggest scam in the pizza business. If you see the words dough made fresh daily, that is what's making you sick. Unless you have celiac disease, that's a whole separate ballgame. That's why this whole country all of a sudden's got a gluten issue, right? If you see the signs dough made fresh daily, do not eat the pizza. Pizza dough is not meant to be used the day that it's made, unless you're getting really, really serious about temperature control and starters and things like that. But if you're just making straight dough and using it an hour and a half later, you are making people sick. You'll see behind me, my son's over here making dough. It is a Saturday. That is dough that we are going to be using on Tuesday. The reason why? fermentation. If your pizza dough is not fermented, you're gonna feel that brick sitting in your stomach after you eat it. You're gonna feel like you can't get off the couch. And again, that's why every single person all of a sudden's got a gluten issue. Guess what? Every human being is technically resistant to gluten. If you do not ferment your dough, you are making people sick. Ferment your dough, people. Let's make America healthy again.
When I was in high school, I worked at a pizza shop. And every night, we'd make dough. Okay. Then we'd proof it and, rolled up in those little tiny balls and put them in the trays and what have you, and did exactly what he said. Those dough balls weren't going to be used for like at least 3 days, usually four. Like they sat in the cooler to ferment. I didn't know it was fermentation at the time. I just knew it needed time to, I just thought it was okay. It rests, and we'll get to it. We're prepping ahead, I was a young kid, but it makes sense because fermented food without vinegar and you naturally ferment something is so fucking good for your body.
Yeah. For your stomach and everything that goes into your stomach fucking has an effect on the rest of your body.
Yeah. Right?
So, yeah, it's interesting, man. And whenever I eat good pizza, like high quality pizza, it doesn't fuck with my stomach. Mm-mm. But if I eat something from like, let's say just a Domino's or even like a step up from that, like Native New York or something like that out here, which is a chain, but they're still fucking just cranking out dough. They're not planning ahead. Eating stuff like that does always fuck me up. Now, I went over to Whole Foods the other day and picked up a piece of pizza after the Renaissance Festival. Ate two of those, no problem. And they're giant fucking slices. Like I got nice and full from two slices, went home, didn't feel like I was about to explode. I don't know what they do. I'm not saying Amazon or not Amazon. Amazon owns fucking
Whole Foods,
but I'm not saying that they're the end all be all as far as health goes, but they probably know this and they understand like, hey, if we want people to eat our pizza and enjoy it, we got to take the steps necessary. Yeah, dude, there's something to that. I don't fully understand fermentation, but I do know that, some of the best foods that you can eat for your stomach are like sauerkraut and fucking, kimchi that's fermented and like stuff like that. Like fermented cabbage is great for you. All this stuff that's fermented is definitely better for you than
fermented cabbage is sauerkraut.
Well, it's also kimchi.
Spices,
1,000% it is.
Spices are a little different. It's kimchi, but it's Chinese cabbage. Like sauerkraut's like, I don't want to sound racist. Like
German,
the American head of cabbage. Like Chinese cabbage is different, or Korean cabbage. They're a lot smaller. But
yeah, I think it's like Napa cabbage.
Yeah.
I don't know, but all I'm saying is cabbage. And like, if you're fermenting, anything, you can ferment fucking essentially anything. Meat, I think you can ferment.
I don't know if you can ferment meat.
Well, I'm pretty sure you can. Let's see.
Well, look it up. I'm going to challenge you right now. If you can ferment,
Yes, you can ferment meat, a process that involves using bacteria to convert sugars into lactic acid, which preserves the meat and enhances its flavor.
Fuck.
Fuck you.
Good thing I didn't spit out the whole bet.
Yeah, what was it?
I was going to say, well, if you can say you can do that, I'll give you a fucking French kiss. And a little dingler in the tingler.
You can ferment cheese.
No shit. You can ferment
anything.
Huh.
You can ferment shit, man.
I want to look more into this fermentation of food.
Yeah. That's where it's at, dude. It doesn't fuck your belly up. Okay. Funny. Did I have anything funny? I thought I did.
You said you did. Do you want to do, should I run through the sponsors?
And sure. Then, yeah. Let's do the sponsors and cunt of the week. I mean, we didn't really talk about any cunts.
Oh, we did.
We did.
Oh, we did.
Okay.
All right. Sponsor for this show, like every show, is purepetwellness.com. Go there, enter DWP or Ghost. That's Pure Pet Wellness, Ghost, or DWP at checkout. You get 20% off your entire order. They have hands down the best CBD products for your pets. And not going to lie, Ryan and I, I'm trying to do this so you can't see my lips, in case we get in like legal trouble. Fuck that. You can use it on yourself. Everything's all natural, 100% made here in America, family-owned, operated. That's purepetwellness.com. Go there for your pet CBD needs. They help with anxiety, joint issues, dry skin. I mean, the list goes on and on and on for these CBDs. That's purepetwellness.com. Enter DWP or Ghost or Ghost or DWP. Don't enter them both, just one or the other. You got to pick. Doesn't matter. Also, if you want to sponsor the show or support the show, go to patreon.com. Sign up for one of our tiers. You go to patreon.com. You enter either Dangerous World Podcast or My Third Eye Podcast. Select tier that suits for you. The highest tier either of us have is $10 a month. You can buy that in 2 days of Mountain Dews.
Mountain Dew?
Yeah, Mountain Dew. Like, you buy two Mountain Dews, it's going to be like almost 10 bucks. Or if you're in California, that's like a half a Mountain Dew.
Facts.
Yeah. So go there, sign up, support us. Do what you got to do. Ryan releases the videos when I send them over. I don't. We're live on X every week when we are live and not taking a break. Also, go to dangerousworldpodcast.com. Go get one of our fucking shirts. Yeah. Ryan made two great shirts. We got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle theme and the original cunt theme. And I like them both. I rock them both.
I'm wearing the cunt shirt now, the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. I think we need to do a He-Man theme because they're coming out with a live action movie.
He-Man is?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that might be nice.
I'm hoping, because the original live action movie sucked. It was like back in the like late 80s, early 90s. Blah. Didn't do really good. But hey, go there, support us, do what you got to do. If you want to support us in any other way, like, share, and share, and share, and share the episode. That's all you got to do. Tell your friends about us.
It's easy to do, and it's free. Have you ever seen that show Eastbound and Down?
I've never seen the show, but I know what Eastbound and Down is. It's Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, but Eastbound and Down is a baseball show.
Oh, no, definitely haven't, because baseball's fake.
It's actually a really fucking great show, and I need to go back and watch it again because I didn't appreciate it as much as I do now. But some of the outtakes and some of the shit that they do on there is great. So since we got, you know, some baseball people that listen to the show, just two people.
Yeah, just like two. Baseball. I mean, there's only two people in this entire world that like baseball.
Right.
And it's Hank.
Chef probably likes baseball.
Maybe Chef does. I was going to say Hank and Hank.
Hank and Hank, he's both of them. Yeah. No. So Eastbound and Down's a great show. Danny McBride's a star. But here's just a nice little fun, lighthearted outtake scene from the show. And it's just, it always makes me happy. So here we go.
How long have you been with her?
Say that again, but then do your fart sound. First do your fart sound.
Huh? How long have you been with her? Dude, look the other way. Like, huh? How long have you been with her? Hold on. Huh? How long have you been?
You skip that part.
That was a good one. Huh? How long have you been with her? I got it. Huh? How long have you been? Shit. I got it. Huh? We got this shit.
Dude, his squeaker is point. On isn't point.
That, isn't that good? I know. Yeah. I was like trying to practice how to do it, and it's like perfect how he does it.
I was sitting here doing the same thing. I'm like, man, he does it without his leg. He just kind of goes, I don't know. It's perfect, though.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, man, I say we get into cunt of the week.
Okay.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, dickhead?
You are a cunt, 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 cunt. Big fat stinking cunt.
Big
cunt.
Big cunts.
Big cunts. I will say Disney.
Disney's a nice one. I'll say like the mental health people that are like pushing that on people.
Good.
Fucking find your own way, people. Find your own way.
Find your own way. I can't means I won't.
Exactly. It's going to be hard. Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Uh-huh. It's kind of like sex. You need one hard object and one really wet one.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That follows.
I guess. I don't know. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. We got up to 81. Not a record. We set a record, I think, the last time we recorded. But thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. More questions, more questions, more questions, more questions. Engage, 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 engage. We love that shit. And on that note, we will see you next time.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guaranteed details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.